Since the dawn of video game creation, mankind has had trouble deciding whether to play on a PC or a console. What if all were welcome? Is there a place where these two can coexist? This is the Game Fix Show.
Hello to all my friends, it's at Game Fix. It's me, Mario.
Woohoo! I'm here to kick ass and listen to the Game Fix Podcast.
And you're listening to the Game Fix Podcast.
And you're listening to Game Fix.
It's Game Fix Podcast.
I like to tune into the Game Fix Show.
All right, partner. You know what time it is.
Let's go crazy! Crazy!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is the Game Fix Show, and I am Spanish.
And I am Verlaine. Make sure, as always, check out our website, gamefixshow.com. Check out our live stream of our recorded podcast, yeah. facebook.com/gamefixshow, every Monday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
And like he mentioned, the recorded podcast, you could download that anywhere. Anywhere you download podcasts, and our newest partner, if you will, iTunes, you can download on the iTunes radio app. So there you go. There you go. There's a lot of places to find us. iHeartRadio. We've always been on iTunes. I get them mixed up. I don't use any of them. So there you go. I only use it for this show. I guess that's kind of where I'm at. But this is a cool show. I'm actually very excited to do this because we don't get a lot of guests, but when we do, we like to get the good ones. I think is easily said. And this week we are going to have WWE's ring announcer from 205 Live and a new show that we'll talk about within the interview. Vic Joseph is on the show. I think that's good, right? And we're gonna talk WWE 2K19. If you're wondering what the hell, why is he on the show? Well, that's why. That's why. So it is still about video games, but we are going to talk a little bit about his career because it's very interesting, and I think you need to listen to it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Not only that, but we also have a Brucey B. Brucey B is back from vacation, dude. He is back, raring to go, and he is ready to spoil the shit out of Venom for you. Is that good?
Nice. Yeah, that works.
That works? Okay, cool. He's pretty excited about that. Also, a couple things that we got to talk about after the interview, because we'll do the interview first. We'll do that. We got some Atari news. I think that's kind of cool. I know, Verlaine, you're more into it than I am, but yeah. we'll talk about that. Also, PSN, there's a lot of things going on with like possible crashing, people like bricking your console. So, we can try to figure out all of that. There's a lot going on. Also, if you guys do us a favor, follow us on our social medias. Just search for us on pretty much any social media at Game Fix Show. And that includes subscribing to us on our YouTube channel. So there you go. If you are a gamer, I know most of the people that are watching are. Before we talk about what we've been playing, I always have kind of an anniversary shout out to a couple of games that have come out. Okay, maybe it's just to kind of remember and talk about that. I kind of like this part of the show. I don't know, Verlaine, are you into that?
I kind of am.
It makes me feel old too. All right, well, actually, it came out yesterday, 10 years ago. Is Dead Space by EA.
Damn.
Yeah, how about that? 10 years ago. So this is interesting. I obviously want to see more Dead Space, but, you know, we'll see how this goes.
I'm sure there will be.
Did you play the first one?
I played a little bit of it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I beat them all, so for sure.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice. Yeah. So that was pretty a good one. Okay. Also, something that came out yesterday. That was the 13th. I have to say that came out on would be Saturday 10 years ago. Yesterday, 5 years ago, The Wolf Among Us by Telltale. I want to just throw that out.
would have had a sequel,
but didn't. Also, 15 years ago yesterday, Rockstar released Max Payne 2, The Fall of Max Payne, which to me was an amazing game. I love Max Payne. Those games, I love them.
Absolutely.
And then I have a game that came out 35 years ago, and his name's Spanish. That was me. It was my birthday yesterday. Can I just say that? Can I throw that out there?
You're a game.
Yeah, I'm a game. In this case, I am. But okay, before we get into the Vic's interview, which is a good one, you guys have to hear this, because we did interview him last week, because it was the only time we can kind of all get together, because Monday nights we do this, and Monday nights are WWE Raw, so you have to understand that's how we had to do it. Okay, so before we do that, let's talk about what we've been playing. Verlaine, I've gone first, I think, the last 3 weeks. Why don't you go first this time?
Okay, my week started out kind of normal. Yep. Overwatch. I dabbled in some Spider-Man.
Cool.
What else did I play on PlayStation? Not too much. Oh, I tried Fist of the North Star. They have a demo out.
Yeah.
That's a weird game.
Is it?
Try it. It's weird. Okay. It looks like something that could have come out on the 360.
Oh.
But it's different, and it's that Japan weird. Just, you should try it. It's free.
Okay.
So the highlight, like, this was just a fluke. So I knew our interview with Vic is coming up tonight.
Yep.
And since we did the interview, I've been itching to play more wrestling. Today I had a minute and I'm like, I'm going to game. And so I went to go download it, and I realized that Link bought, because I game share with Link, he bought Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Oh, sweet.
So I started it, and all right, look, Origins was cool. I wasn't a fan of the switched controls where the bumpers and trigger is the fighting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's the same as in this game, but this game looks amazing. It's probably the most RPG heavy of all of them. You start out the game as Leonidas in the Battle of 300.
Oh, really?
It is the most amazing start I've ever seen in a game.
Way to spoil it.
Dude, it's the first thing in the game. I don't care, because I think it's one of those things where you're going to keep going back, because it's all about the weapon he used, yeah. I think. I've only done one mission after that.
This is Sparta. Does he say that and kick someone in a hole?
He doesn't say this is Sparta, but that kick, he has that kick as a special move.
Yes, he does.
Like, you can kick guys like far.
Oh, that's awesome.
So in saying that, this one is not really grounded. There is magic.
So he's more of like a god.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, cool. You're all, it's like, you know,
it's like the story. Rise,
Son of Rome was.
Yeah.
How he's like kind of has the powers of the gods.
Oh, that's that makes me more excited about the game. Yeah, I wasn't even that excited about it.
Yeah, it's definitely not as grounded at all.
Okay.
It's almost not even like, as of right now, it's not Assassin's Creed, really. I still like the fighting in Rise, but this is a great equivalent to Son of Rome. The main difference, when you start the game, you have two choices besides picking a male or female. And I guess each story is different, the people you talk to and everything. But you have you could pick up the normal way to do things. I can't remember what they call it, but that's where, you know, every side mission and every mission like is on your map. Like, if you need to highlight something, go to the map and it'll show all the missions that you have to do, the next in line and all that stuff. But then there's what they call, this is the way that it was meant to be played, and it's exploration mode, where you have to find your targets. So I chose that one, and it's cool, dude, because my first mission, like, it won't mark it. The girl I talked to that's talking about the guy I have to meet, she says where he is, and then you have to ask her, you know, where's this place at? And she's like, see the statue? South of that. That's all you have to go on. So you have to just look at the statue,
find it,
try to pinpoint the map direction so you don't get lost, head that way. Eventually a thing will come up saying you're close to the target. So then you release your eagle and you get the eagle view, and then you find the target that way. And then you have to get to the target.
Gotcha.
It's cool. And I can see how I think that's a very cool way to do things. Like, you can end up finishing the game and never even knowing a certain side mission even exists. So it's cool. And these people there, I see a lot of people like complaining how fast they beat it or whatever, dude. If you're doing it, you can still beat this like any other open world game. Find keep the targeted, the main missions, just do all the main missions. And then you'd also have to not be doing exploration mode to do that. So yeah, I mean, fine. But the way it's meant to be played is actually pretty sweet. They have a counter, which is different. And then the powers, which I have none of yet. It's great. It's very cool so far.
That's cool.
Totally.
Dude, that's cool. That actually kind of talks me into actually getting it, or at least thinking about it.
Yeah, for sure.
It really wasn't on my radar. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not a big Assassin's Creed guy. I don't know if anybody in the chat room is, but like, I don't know. For me, it was like Fallout. I don't know. Assassin's Creed was never there for me.
Yeah, it's it's pretty much polishing what they tried to do with Origins, and it's turning out to be one of the best in the franchise. And yeah, I have only made it not even a chip of the way. But if you just go by all the reviews, like, it's, everybody is talking about this game. They're talking about it like Destiny 2, like a true RPG every day, where secret things are, how to do this, how to do that. It's good. Check it out for sure.
Okay.
Totally. And it's fucking ancient Greece, man.
Yeah, that's why it's kind of cool. I dig the Greece. Well, the ancient Greece.
Yeah.
What else have you been playing?
That's it.
Really?
I played that today. That was the last thing I played. The newest thing I played. So yeah, I'm actually glad. Otherwise, it would have been pretty boring.
Okay. All right, cool.
I would have been over already.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's awesome. All right. Well, like I said, my birthday was on Sunday, and I got a couple of games.
Nice.
I got some Switch games, because I don't really have any. And I was pretty excited to get them. The first one I got is Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. So it's I haven't played it yet. I haven't even put it in the system yet, because I got two games.
All right. Can I guess the other one?
Please.
Zelda?
No.
Oh, Splatoon?
No. You're straight.
Mega Man.
Yeah, you're done. You only get three. That's right. I got Mario Party.
Oh, nice. It was going to be my next one.
Oh, really? Okay. It is ridiculously fun. Yeah. I could see why people really dig it. And I mean, I've played the older ones. I even had Mario Party on my DS. I guess I still do in this case. But like, the game's super fun. I want to play with more people, because I have to tell you that the computer totally cheats.
Oh, of course.
Oh, my God. Like, it totally put a bad taste in my mouth the first time I played it, because... Like, I don't know, because it was like 10 moves or whatever, like, in the game. It only gives you that's because then the game's only like an hour long or so, because there's four people. So in seven moves, one of the characters said, I predict that Waluigi's going to win. Sure enough, he won at the end. He had no stars and ended up with three at the end. I'm like, what the heck? Like, this is so stupid. I couldn't even. It really made me mad. So I'm hoping that, you know, when you play against actual humans, it'll be a little bit different. So let's hope. but yeah, I've definitely been playing that. But what I've really been playing, and I've been playing the shit out of, and I took your advice and I got it for the Switch, is Dead Cells.
Nice. You like that game, huh?
Okay. I have to say this. For the first... I don't know, a couple hours I was playing it. So, like, you know, put it down off and on. I was really frustrated with it. Like, oh my God. I couldn't tell you how many times I died and started over. And that's what it felt like. It felt like I was just starting over from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But once you start grinding, and once you start going, and you start unlocking things, you realize that you aren't starting with nothing.
Mm-mm.
And
the game progresses even story-wise.
Oh my God, it's kind of crazy. And like, so I'm starting to find new things, new areas, new weapons, upgrading weapons differently, upgrading whatever. This game has so much to it that I didn't quite realize, because I think I played it at your place for like, 30 minutes or something like that. So like, I didn't really get a grasp on like what this game had, but the fighting in it is awesome. I love that you could roll back and forth between, you know, and dodge things and, everything about it. The game is very, very fun, and I'm very, very glad I got it on the Switch in this case. Totally glad. Because now I could play it when I'm taking a shit.
Even now, when I play the game, I find new things. God. Like, it's like they let the story... It's weird. The story will progress.
Yeah.
Even if you don't make it past the first boss, you're still getting the story fed to you. It's so awesome. And eventually you will beat him. They'll keep giving you shit until you could beat him.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so glad.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm in. Yeah. I'm in 100%. All right?
Yeah.
At first I was like, I don't know. But now, like, I can't put it down.
Yeah.
So
it's so easy to just play a couple too, and just
my longest round, and you'll probably laugh because I'm sure you've played a lot longer, but my longest round was about 42 minutes. So I stayed alive that long.
I go about that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I go around that, and then I start getting stupid.
Yeah, that's what happens to me, too. I get bored, and I'm like, I'm going to try this. Nope, that didn't work.
Yeah, sometimes the enemies... Well, not bored. It's the wrong word. Sometimes the enemies will do a move, and it'll take all your life, but sometimes they'll do the move, and it takes, like, none of it.
Yeah.
It's really weird how that works.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very, very cool. Yeah. So I'm glad I got to play it. Okay. Well, that's about what I've been playing this week. If you guys want to tell us what you've been playing, and you're in the chat room, please let us know. We want to know. We want to know what you do when you're not here watching our show or listening to it. Okay. But what we did last week is we had a cool interview. Very, very cool. He is a friend of the show. Personal friend, actually, we both know him very personally, and he's kind of gone on to do bigger and better things, and he said yes to an interview to us, little guys, so we do appreciate that for him, but his name is Vic Joseph. He is an announcer for 205 Live on the WWE Network, so you could watch him every week, and now you'll even see him even more. He's going to be a part of the NXT UK series. So you're going to hear his voice a lot more. So without further ado, let's start it. Let's give the listen of the interview we had with WWE's announcer, Vic Joseph. Oh, yeah. We have an esteemed guest. If you don't know by now, you should know. That's right. You hear him in the background. Vic Joseph, a ring announcer from the WWE and 205 Live, has joined us on the show. Vic, how you doing, man?
I was a little thrown away by the "I Was Made for Loving You" kiss song that just brought me into the show. So I'm actually doing pretty well right now.
Well, I'll take everyone back a little bit. We are actually personal friends. You're personal friends of the show for sure. So I know a little bit about you, probably more than others. And I know that you are a giant Kiss fan.
Huge Kiss fan. Yeah, I actually have a Kiss room in my house.
I do too, but it's different.
Yeah, it's a different Kiss room.
All right, guys, it's PG.
That's fair. All right. Well, Vic, we got you on the show because there is a game that was just recently released called WWE 2K19. Obviously, it rings really well with us on the show. We do enjoy a good wrestling match here and there. You've played the game, right?
Yeah, I was actually part of the unveil to some of the media in Orlando, Florida during the WWE 2K19 event at the WWE Performance Center. So I got to play with a couple of those individuals from the video game world. And actually, Tom Phillips and I played a few matches. He actually worked as the 1970s Ric Flair in a 1970s Brady Bunch suit.
Woo!
And I worked as Cleveland's own personal friend of mine, one of my best friends, Johnny Gargano.
Oh, yeah, Johnny.
And we did a Money in the Bank ladder match in the Mexico Arena. I know that's a lot to digest.
That's okay.
But, it was awesome. The gameplay is so smooth compared to even last year's version of the WWE 2K series. So I think everyone will be very, very happy with this year's edition.
I mean, especially because I know last year it didn't really seem to have the, I don't even know what you want to say. Verlaine, help me out with the word. Kind of like the draw, I think.
So we all know that these titles are sports titles, which are pretty much yearly. And what happens with us is we buy a year and we play it. But the next year, they don't always, promote a lot of the differences, because a lot of them are subtle, even though they're very impactful. So we tend to skip a year every time because, but last year didn't seem to have even the stuff that this year has. Like, it seems like they put a lot more for this year for some reason. Maybe it's a different engine that they're using.
Is there something that you want to talk about as far as what's different from this year than last year? Like, what really stands out?
Well, guys, I think the biggest thing for WWE fans is, the stories, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the WWE is built on stories. You either like a guy or you dislike a guy, and you get personally invested in a character. And what I think's unique about this year's model is there is a story mode that revolves around Daniel Bryan.
It's supposed to be big. It's supposed to be real good.
What's that?
It's supposed to be big. I'm hearing the storyline exactly what is the big about this. Okay, well, tell me about the storyline at least.
Yeah, so Daniel Bryan, it's about his story, about his the Yes movement that overtook the wrestling world and even the world of sports. I mean, you've seen Big Ten universities like Michigan State doing the Yes, 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 and it's all over the place. And you really get his story from the beginning to his arrival in WWE, to his retirement, to his comeback. So, I mean, that story in itself is huge. So a new player mode, create a player mode that you can dive into. And you dive right into NXT with Matt Bloom and his voiceovers from the actual NXT coaches that are in the Performance Center every single day. And it's very fun. It's very unique. It has a very easy, playable atmosphere to it. And then outside of that, take just look at the roster that this has. And
200 characters
been unveiled. It's huge. It's awesome. It's going to be an amazing video game.
Yeah, they're saying 200 new playable characters, playable characters. And then they're saying 40 of those characters are brand new to the whole system.
Yeah, and that's what's unique about it. I mean, and you and I, it's funny because when you and I were working at CBS in Cleveland, you used to play different characters. Wrestling theme songs, bringing me back into shows.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And then it'd be like, well, you know, which one is this, Vic? And sometimes I got it right, sometimes I got it wrong.
Right.
You know, there are so many new unique characters, and you know, you really can have that quote unquote fantasy warfare. You know, this year you can have Shawn Michaels versus AJ Styles. You could have, you know, Braun Strowman going up against any other monster from back decades ago. So it's very unique in that aspect. It's very fun. The Daniel Bryan story mode is very fun. And then the story mode for your create a superstar, I think, is better than last year. And even the year before that, just because of the different aspects of being involved with the actual NXT coaches like Matt Bloom, who most of your listeners would know as Albert or even Tensai.
Oh, yeah. Verlaine, you got a question about the game?
Okay. So I hear that they've taken out the ability to grab weapons from underneath the ring, right?
I don't think they have, because I believe I took a weapon from underneath the ring when I played it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
That's good.
That's one thing that I read that I was kind of discouraged about, but in a sense that the reason maybe it's just specific matches, like, I was reading really into the cage matches, how they changed them, how now you can fight people while you're climbing. You can both be climbing. You know, there's more drop spots at Hell in a Cell. Have they done any other, even the minor tweaks would be major, but the tweaks that would make, like the cage matches were so one-sided. It was so easy to win. Once you were on your way to win, remember that, Dave, you would win all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like there were some matches that were totally
probably because I was better at the game than you were.
No.
Okay.
Well, not just because Dave's a natural.
He's not against five.
You heard it. You heard it from Vic firsthand. That's all.
Check is in the mail.
Thank you.
There's a couple of improvements from last year. So, for instance, you know, Verlaine, what you're talking about is like the Money in the Bank or any sort of ladder match has a game inside the game. So when you get up
to the top
of the ladder and you want to grab the Money in the Bank briefcase, you actually have to almost like turn your left joystick and your right joystick so that a ball keeps dropping into a maze. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that's what they did. They did that. Remember, I think 2 years ago. How the thing, Dave.
Oh, yeah, yeah. With the little, you got to get the point to get in the little open area.
I like that. Right. I like that, though.
So there's that game is back now.
Good.
And the Money in the Bank and in the ladder match. And when it comes to, just for instance, I don't want to give too much away, the Hell in a Cell, it's much more realistic. So if you go to run the corner, let's say, around the steel steps, you're going to trip over the steel steps.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's not so easy just to run in a circle, slide into the ring, run on the other side and play, you know, the old okey-doke with your opponent. You know, you're going to trip over the steel steps or you're going to run into them and hit your knee. And that sort of hesitation will allow your opponent or your compadre that you're playing against to catch up to you.
Okay.
So I played as Shawn Michaels 97 against Braun Strowman, and Braun Strowman beat me up.
Yeah.
And Tom Phillips was actually Braun Strowman, and I couldn't run as easily, so that was kind of like, oh, man, this is much more realistic, which at the same time is it makes the game more fun because it is more realistic and also more frustrating because it's realistic.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. I think a big question that me and Verlaine were kind of wondering, and we didn't really want to find out online. We just kind of want to hear it directly from you. Are you in the game?
I cannot tell you that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Good answer. I love that answer.
Okay, cool.
I can tell you that I'm not on the version of those that come on the game. But maybe, and I'm hoping for maybe like an announcer DLC with like me and Tom Phillips and Percy Watson and Nigel to come out maybe in a few months.
I'll buy it. Even if I don't have the game, I'd buy it.
That is incredible. That, yeah, it was something that we were like, okay, do you think, because, well, I don't know. He's only been there so long. Well, say, how long have you been with the company itself?
I will be there 2 years in November.
So like,
November. I'll be there 2 years in January, but up on the main roster, I think I'm trying to correlate it to Survivor Series.
Yeah.
I think I was in, I think I got called up 4 months after I started.
Okay. Well, that's not bad. 4 months. Hey, you know,
yeah, awesome. I think like 3 months or 4 months. I've done all four of the big four pay-per-views. I've done SummerSlam twice, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble. My first WrestleMania was last year.
Yeah.
Calling a match. So
Dude,
I would just say I've been there 2 years this January.
It's amazing. Definitely a, I could say rags to riches, just because I know where you've been.
you've been to the indie shows, brother.
Absolutely. And this is really big. And I know not only is it really big for you, but like just as your friend, I've always been kind of like, I'm your biggest fan. You know what I mean? Like I've always felt like, I see and you're like, man, that's just so cool. Just because I've been watching, I mean, you know me, dude, I watch, every wrestling. I watch every show. I watch Raw. I watch SmackDown, 205 Live. I watch all the pay-per-views. Like, dude, I am the quintessential WWE fan. So when I see one of my own, like, across those lines, it just makes me feel good. And I just really wanted to say thank you. Can I say that?
No, you don't got to thank me. I thank you guys for allowing me to come on with you guys. And it's funny because I've gotten, so today, just for instance, WWE announced the United Kingdom show.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that.
Coming out. And I'll be the voice of the United Kingdom show. And so that's
awesome.
A huge honor for me to be on that from the ground level. So the first episode of NXT UK, which comes out October 17th, you know, I'm voicing it along with Nigel McGuinness. So to be a part of that from the ground up is truly special for me. But I'm doing the UK show, 205 Live, main event. I'm on season 2 of Mixed Match Challenge, which airs every Tuesday, 10 o'clock Eastern time on Facebook Watch. It's me, Michael Cole, and Renee Young. I do List This, which is a YouTube show that's, last time I checked, on average was getting just over 1 million hits a week.
Not too bad.
So it's been crazy over the last 2 years for everything and traveling all over the world and just to be here now, because I was a fan, you know, I was a huge fan, and Dave and I used to talk about WWE all the time in the studios, and to see what we're doing now. I mean, we just had a show in Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah.
We're going to have the first all women's pay-per-view coming up October 28th. We're going to have another show from Saudi Arabia, and I believe November 2nd from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Crown Jewel, and we're going to crown the WWE World Cup Best in the World 8-man tournament in one night on that night. So, I mean, there's so much going on, and when you think about the WWE Network, I mean, there's so much content. There's so many live events, Super Show, which I just talked about, Crown Jewel coming up, Evolution, all the pay-per-views. I mean, to be a part of it now is it's humbling, and then to see my friends in Cleveland that are still watching and commenting and liking and sending me text messages. I mean, it's fun for me because I'm still a fan at heart. So You know, Dave, that comment means a lot to me, probably more than, you know, you even believe.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad, because I definitely mean it. I definitely mean it. Verlaine, you probably have a question about the UK, but let me get mine out and real quick. You know, Link, he's part of the show. He actually gave me this question to ask you because it's a really good one. He's actually wondering, because he's a big fan too. He watches WWE all the time. He says, are NXT UK wrestlers exclusive to wrestling on the UK show, or will we see them move in between NXT?
As a matter of fact, you've seen the UK superstars on NXT.
Well, for now, but once it separates, will we see?
No, you won't see anything. They'll both be going back and forth. You know, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, British Strong Style. You know, they've been on NXT represented. You will still see them on NXT.
Dunne's the champ,
UK,
of course.
Even when NXT UK begins, which again is October 17th, you're going to see some superstars from 205 Live over on NXT UK. So there's a lot of cross representation. It's going to be very unique. It's going to be very fun. And it's going to make Wednesday nights on the WWE Network must-see.
It's great. Verlaine?
Yeah, I actually want to bring it back to video games.
Yeah, let's do that.
So what's up with the whole big head feature?
Oh, yeah. Like, that's all right, a great question.
Get it. Like, it cool?
used
you
to be
like
a
it?
Thing back with like NBA Jam and, you know, back in the 90s. And it's a nice little gimmick, but they're really hitting this hard. And I think it's semi, so you can really like maybe to accentuate the facial features of the guys, like you actually will be able to see them. But is there any other reason why they're really hitting on something that doesn't seem like, you know what I'm saying? Like a big addition, though it is.
I think it's just a cool retro feature, as you mentioned, okay. Like NBA Jam and things like that. And it's also something that I've never seen in any wrestling game before.
Well,
let
it is going to be
a 2K series WWE game. And I think it's just something new. I think it's something fun to kind of spark the interest of everyone. And I love it, actually.
Well, it
and
really shows off
the New
the
Day
graphical.
Guys love it. So if the New Day guys love it, I love it.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you right now, I'm a huge fan of the big head mode.
Into pancakes.
I've always been the guy when playing NBA Jam to try to get the big head mode like right now. Like, I didn't even care.
Yeah,
because it's stupid.
I think it's cool.
It's fun.
I don't. But to Verlaine's point, I don't think if you're a hardcore WWE 2K series fan, you know, and you're on the fence, that it's gonna make you want to go buy the game.
Yeah.
But it's such a cool feature that it's so unique, and I think it's a trial thing. You know, I don't necessarily know if it'll be in next year's game, but when I played it. It was like you were like, oh, this is so cool. It's funny. You're laughing at it. I remember sitting with Carmella when Carmella played for the first time, and she had the big head walking down the ring, and we were just laughing. I mean, it's one of those things where if you, myself, and Dave were all sitting in a room and we decided to do a triple threat ladder match, you guys want to do big head mode? Yeah, let's do big head mode, and we're all going to do big head mode. You know, and it's fun. It's just. One
Something
of those
different.
Party type games to bring people together, and that's what WWE is about. We're about putting smiles on people's faces. So if big head mode is something that's going to bring a smile to your face and add a little bit to your party and add a little bit of oomph to your gaming experience, then that's what we're going to do.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's a massive improvement over the last year. You're going to get. Let's see, Rey Mysterio, Ronda Rousey, of course, the great Ronda Rousey's in the game, Well, like I said, 40 new characters. I just want to go over some of these characters because I know Verlaine is more of a fan of like the old wrestling, years ago.
When it came to Attitude, the whole Attitude era,
yeah.
Every single Cleveland show I was at front row, every show, every pay-per-view, like I was all about it. But just that era, pretty much when The Rock stopped is around when I kind of dropped off.
Well, The Rock has never stopped. So
well, when The Rock started doing movies
years ago,
yeah, really. Yeah, but I understand.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, we totally know what you mean. But like, I mean, just a few to go over. Bret the Hitman Hart, Bam Bam Bigelow, Macho Man Randy Savage, Alundra Blaze too. Like that's cool to see like some new women in there too. I feel like that's kind of a big draw when it comes to this game because in the past women were kind of like, you know, they were wrestlers, but they weren't really a spotlight. But now I see it. They are like just part of the team and I love it. I'm really loving that.
Is Bo Buchanan?
That's a fun part, you know, Alundra Blaze being in the game. And you can go back to SmackDown just this past Tuesday where I don't remember the last time SmackDown opened with a championship match that there was no, like, ring introduction.
Right.
You know, no entrance music. I mean, they started right in on Charlotte and Becky Lynch. And the first all-women's pay-per-view is coming up, Evolution, on October 28th. And all these legends like Trish Stratus and Lita that are in the Hall of Fame, they're going to be in the game, that are going to be at Evolution, they're going to compete again in the ring. It does add something new for the fans of women's wrestling.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think when you have Alundra Blaze, who's a Hall of Famer and is so fun to be around and is so informative and can give you so much information just on my personal level, to have her in the game is fun. But as you guys mentioned, the 40 new characters, the legends of yesteryear, the Attitude Era, to go back and go
Psycho Sid, Ted DiBiase. Keep going.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What are you guys laughing at?
No, I'm just saying Psycho Sid, Ted DiBiase, Shawn Michaels, Scott Hall, Robert Gibson. Can I just say
that? it's so, and that's what I'm talking about. Like this game this year, it just has a different feel to it. And it's like, you know, Verlaine, I think, brought up the point of, yeah, you know, we always, every year, go get a sports game, and I'll use Madden. Well, what's the difference between Madden 18 and Madden 17? Oh, a team's jersey?
Yeah.
Oh, you can stiff arm with the B button now?
Yeah. Practice. You know, it's like, practice mode.
You know, but this year, WWE's 2K series is so interactive with the story mode, with the new characters, with everything I've talked about already, that it's just so fun to play. I can't wait for you guys to get your hands on the game and give it a spin.
Oh yeah,
I will. I mean, we skipped a year, so this is the year we get the new one.
This is the year we got to get it, and we definitely will. Verlaine, you got anything else you want to ask him? I got some quick fun stuff.
No, go for the fun stuff. Okay. I like fun stuff.
All right, this is going to be real quick, Vic. This is like one answer, one word answers, or you can give an explanation. We don't mind.
All right.
Okay, so you're a gamer. We know this, right? You've played games your whole life.
I'm actually playing Assassin's Creed for the first time ever Xbox One. I'm on
Odyssey.
Assassin's Creed for the 360, and I'm in Memory Block 3.
Okay. All right. That's wait. Are you?
Glad you guys know where I'm at in life
now. No, I like it. That's okay. Okay. So, what was your first console you ever owned?
First console I ever owned that I can remember was the original Nintendo. The first game I had was the Duck Hunt Mario Brothers.
Nice. Okay. What's your favorite Mario game? Since you mentioned it.
Favorite Mario game is the original Mario, which I still have in my apartment.
Nice.
And here in Orlando, and just to spawn off of that for a moment, gentlemen, I have in my apartment the original Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, the Nintendo 64, Sega Game Gear, Nintendo DS,
yes,
Xbox One, PS4, and a Nintendo Switch.
Ugh. You are definitely a gamer. You got to get VR. Yes, you do. You definitely
I haven't tried the VR. I've thought about it. In my home in Cleveland, I do have an arcade.
Yes, you
do. I think Dave has seen.
I have played on, yes.
So, yeah. So, big into the games.
Okay.
I will digress now.
Favorite game overall?
Is there a genre or just in general?
Just in general. Let's just go general.
So I love, in terms of wrestling, WWF No Mercy. Nice. For the Nintendo 64.
Yes, great game.
best wrestling game still.
Pretty much. So I think that's an easy cop-out answer.
No, it's right. I think you're right on.
I will say, outside of that, on the new-gen systems, I love the Uncharted series.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan of the Uncharted series. Last of Us was probably the best game I've played in a very long time that I would want to replay. Also a fan of the new set of Tomb Raiders, but on the Xbox. I can't wait to get the new Shadows game here in a few weeks. Prince of Persia on the old
Yes.
systems. were some of my favorite games.
Sands of Time was epic.
One game overall.
That's fair. Okay, we'll take that as your answer. That's good.
Oh, Tecmo Bowl on the original Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
A Super Tecmo Bowl. Sorry, Super Tecmo.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Our good friends over at that play Tecmo Cleveland. I'm sure they would be happy about that for sure. Best superhero movie.
I'm a big fan of Batman, so I will go the whole new trilogy of Batman games with Christian Bale.
No, movie. Not games, movie.
Movie. The whole new trilogy of movies.
Oh, okay.
I can't pick one. I actually have a Joker wall in my house with an original Joker action figure. I will not tell you how much it costs. But I'm a big fan of the Joker, so I'm really awesome. Looking forward to the new Joker movie coming out with Mr. Phoenix.
Okay. A couple more. Who's your favorite wrestler growing up?
Shawn Michaels.
Gotta love that.
Who I now get to deal with every day. And it's absolutely amazing to get to talk and pick his brain about things and then have him come up and ask me questions. Dude, it is surreal.
Oh, that's cool. That's so cool.
It is surreal.
Has he given you sweet chin music yet?
Oh, no, I'm not crazy.
Okay, good. Whew, I was going to say, man, yeah, that would probably be the end of your illustrious short career at that point.
Yeah, he has given me, though, the best piece of advice I was ever given before I got quote-unquote called up to the main roster. So I actually owe him a debt of gratitude.
Oh, okay.
Which is really cool.
I thought
cool
you were going to give us that advice.
Okay, yeah. Can you give us the advice he gave you?
No.
Okay, that's fair.
No, he told me to make sure that I understand everything that's going on.
Oh,
I broke it down for me a little bit more than that, but he said never go into anything unprepared. Be overprepared.
Good. Great advice. Last question. When will you take over Raw and WWE as a whole? Because I'd really like to know that.
Oh, I cannot tell you that.
I didn't think so.
There's a plan in place.
Oh, there is a plan. That's all I need to know.
There's a plan in place.
That makes me happy. That makes me happy.
Yeah, there's a plan in place. We're going to take over the world, Dave, you and I.
I love it. Can I be your manager? That's really all I ask.
No,
I
think you cannot. I'd rather have Verlaine.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right, Verlaine.
Ouch.
No, absolutely.
Ouch.
No, not ouch. I mean, come on. Verlaine's a good dude.
What about me? What about me?
Verlaine doesn't get enough love, I don't feel like.
He gets plenty of love.
No, I think Vic is right.
Oh, you don't get enough love? Come on.
I'll let you two bicker amongst yourselves about this.
And we
I'd
will.
I'd love to have both of you guys as my managers.
All right. Well, cool. Yeah, that's fine. But, I mean, I'm the higher up, obviously.
Dave, I'd probably let you be my manager.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'd be so good. Oh, my God, it'd be the best.
So let me ask you guys something.
Ooh, I like it,
What are you guys looking forward to in the new WWE 2K19 video game?
Honestly, big head mode is something that I've been looking at and, like, salivating over. I am not even kidding. Like, that is definitely one thing for me that I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
It's like you have the game, and you can be like, hey, I got, you know, three or four buddies coming over. Let's do big head mode.
Let's
do a Money in the Bank ladder match with five of my friends, big head mode, and then just think of these characters like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Sid, The New Day, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, list goes on with these big heads climbing the ladder trying to get that Money in the Bank briefcase. I mean, it has fun written all over it.
Verlaine, what about you?
I'm big into the whole creating thing, like creating a wrestler, but I actually like creating our own rings and stuff for when we stream. Have they done any improvements on that at all?
I will.
Besides adding the extra features,
to give you an honest answer. So I'd probably tell you that it's maybe a little improved from last year. I just don't know enough about that content to really give you an honest answer. What I can tell you is some of the arenas that have already been created are very fun to play in. You actually have the ability to go back and do WCW Halloween Havoc.
Sweet.
Starcade,
yes!
Mean, you almost think like you're playing the old WCW when THQ developed the game.
Oh, yeah.
And, WCW versus NWO, WCW World Tour. I mean, you have those old school venues already built into the game. But I just don't know enough about the creative side of that for a gamer itself.
Gotcha.
Right. Yes, that's fine. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, Vic, thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciated it probably way more than you did, even though you kind of seemed like you enjoyed yourself, and I appreciate that.
No, I loved it. I love talking Good. About the games. It's one of my favorite things to do when we're on the road. All we have are video games. So when you get to sit down with Xavier Woods while he's playing like UFC and stuff for up, up, down, down, and you're just watching him play, it gets my juices flowing. So when you guys decided to have me on, I was like, heck yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, let the people know where to find you and where they're going to get to see you next.
So I am every Tuesday, or not Tuesday anymore, Wednesday afternoons. Wednesday afternoons, it'll be WWE UK, NXT UK, 3 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock, 205 Live. Main event is also on Video On Demand on the WWE Network. List This is on YouTube, and you can find me on social media on Instagram and on Twitter at Vic Joseph WWE.
Awesome. Awesome, Vic. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, guys.
Vic Joseph from the WWE announcer. He is awesome.
Totally. Yeah, I end that beautifully. That was WWE's Vic Joseph announcer. Dude, that reminded me. Yeah. Do you remember the last time that we hung out as Game Fix with him?
Yeah.
In my place.
I do.
He actually played wrestling before any of this, and he would just be talking about this gig he was trying out for.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so great still, dude.
It was kind of full circle, and we're glad we got a chance to catch up to him. And he's definitely going to be on the show again because he's awesome. I love it.
10 years from now, man.
Yeah. I asked him, you know, how long until he takes over at least SmackDown. And all he said was, well, you heard it. They have a plan. I think that's how he put it. They have a plan. So yeah. I don't know. I'd love to know what that plan is.
You know what the best part is? It's like somebody like him gets that opportunity. And it wasn't just grandfathered to some old dude who's been around or someone they knew, family member.
Let me tell you, that dude has paid his dues. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, awesome.
Regs to riches story, no doubt about it. Yeah. So, yeah, all right. Well, he's good. I'm glad he's a part of the Game Fix family now.
Yes,
there you go.
Absolutely.
That's how this works. All right. So let's talk about some other stuff going on in video games, shall we? And I think we need to start off by saying, is Borderlands going to VR? This is what I need to know. And I know, Verlaine, you're big on this. So what's going on?
Yeah, it's Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing, dude. I wasn't a big fan of Borderlands because it was when they first started really incorporating RPG elements into shooters.
Sure.
I did like playing it, but there was whatever. I'm not going to get into that. The fact is, this changes everything. And I tell everyone all the time, if you make a VR version of a game, it changes everything, like everything. And this game looks so fun, like so fun in VR. It doesn't matter. Like even if you have to do the teleport, cause it's a two stick thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, dude. Just to be in that cell shaded Borderlands world, fighting the enemies. And I'm talking like even just the animals wandering around, like this is something that I will get.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Borderlands. I will get this game. Like, absolutely.
I'm afraid of it. As you know, when it comes to a lot of the VR games makes me kind of queasy.
Yeah.
So, I would be interested in seeing what it looks like, from standing away from the VR at first, just to kind of get an idea of how it moves, because there are a few games. I know we play a few games that are actually the movement. It doesn't get me dizzy at all.
Right.
But that's usually the warp, you know, going back and forth, but just moving forward makes me want to vomit.
Cause you say, I still haven't played Doom yet, but you say the teleport in that is more of a fast forward zoom and not a teleport. And it's like in Rec Room, it's a blink, like a tracer blink.
It goes dark and then comes back. Right.
So And what I've noticed is a lot of games are starting to incorporate more options to tweak those out. Like I thought for sure that Firewall would fix your problem. Cause it fixes a lot of mine by putting the tunnel vision whenever you're running and turning. But things like that, you also have the options to either, you know, teleport or not teleport. Teleport, but, you know, you can strafe however you want, sure, or vice versa. Right. And like the more options that they give us, the more it's going to help people like just at least get more used to doing this. I still think it's a matter of playing more, but yeah, absolutely. Like, I really, for your sake, hope, because I could play teleporting. I don't care, because once you teleport, then it's free. Then you're free to go wherever you want.
Right.
So, dude, I hope it is. And then I haven't heard anything about whether they're going to let the co-op happen. That was big. Borderlands, huge co-op.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows?
Even if it's simple, like an Arizona Sunshine kind of, you know, horde mode.
Yeah.
You know, you sit there and just defend. Even a mode like that in Borderlands would be great. Co-op, just like co-op VR is where it's at.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. That comes out December 14th.
Okay. Oh, cool. All right. That's very soon then. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Cool. 2 months.
It gives me something to ask for Christmas.
Yeah, for
one.
Sure. For sure. Yeah. Well, that's good. All right. Well, I have a quick Nintendo Switch bundle that they're actually going to be coming out with November 2nd. And to be honest with you, I'm glad I didn't wait for it. I have to say that because it is a Nintendo Switch Diablo 3 Eternal Collection bundle. So obviously you're going to get the Switch version of the Diablo 3. And which I don't know, it might be full. I don't even know exactly as far as like if it's abbreviated, but I think it's a full version. And then on top of that, the actual console will have like, you know, Diablo art on it.
Okay.
Like a theme. Yeah. So, there's the MSRP is $359.99. So just like you would buy something brand new anyway. So you're not going to save any money, but yet if you are a big Diablo fan, this is definitely the Switch for you. Maybe if you've been waiting for an actual like collector's edition bundle, this would probably be where it's at. Another bundle that they have already is Mario Tennis Aces, and that also comes with the 1-2 Switch game.
I think that'd be the better bundle.
That's probably the better bundle. And I almost bought that one to begin with. But I don't really care about Mario Tennis. I'm not going to lie. I don't care.
And you'd have to have somebody there to play with you still.
Yeah. And then I don't care about 1-2 Switch either. I don't care about any of those. So I was just like, you know what? And also I didn't want the red and blue Joy-Con. I wanted the black Joy-Con. So I just got the regular one.
Right.
That's what I did. I'm so boring. I know. We could kind of stay with the Diablo stuff, right? You have something for Diablo, right?
Yeah. Okay. So here, I haven't checked the blog. Who posted the blog? James?
Yes.
I'm assuming. I haven't checked to see if it was updated, but so let's pretend that we haven't updated it.
Nope.
I believe that everybody is like, you know, hey, guess what? Diablo 3 is going to get crossplay, right? Everybody's flipping out and there was even something that they posted, let's see, a Blizzard rep confirmed that cross-platform play for Diablo 3 is something that Blizzard is working on and that it's a matter of when, not if.
He did update it, by the way.
Just so okay.
You, yeah.
So, all right. So what's hilarious is like, so that's put out there and everybody like, blah, 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 cross-play. And then I'm here saying, damn, last week I just went on about like the only reason PlayStation's letting it happen is because of what Fortnite is as a free game.
Right.
And there's really no harm, no foul, because it's free. No one's going to buy a console for a free game. and then this happens, and I'm like, oh, wow. I mean, like, Blizzard, that's a pretty big company.
It's a big move, right.
You know, but that's also a company that is way secure about their community as well.
Sure.
So then this update comes out, and what it says is, while we love the idea of bringing our players together across platforms, we do not have any plans to implement cross-platform gameplay for Diablo at this time. Two totally different statements, which for the media it's got to say something. Like, eventually we're not going to be able to trust anything. You won't even be able to trust us because what we have might be absolutely wrong, because now I guess it's okay for big media to be wrong. They just update it and, oh, now we're right.
Yep.
But I digress. The fact is like, it's another case of people are like so close and it's just like yanked away from them. And I still am just I'm still just wondering what the next game to be cross-platform actually will be, because right now people are calmed down about the situation because of Fortnite, not seeing that like you're going to have to get built up again because it could end at Fortnite. I would have thought Rocket League, you know, like sure, a game that, like that.
Absolutely, Rocket League.
Even Overwatch, if they were going to do something like that. But dude, I mean, just this Blizzard thing right here, Diablo 3 is not going to be cross-platform. Like, that's just leading to the road that we've already been down, where it's not going to happen. Like, more companies probably want to sell copies of their games on each platform and not just one. Like, why would Blizzard be like, all right, we're down with cross-platform, so now everyone just buy the better console and we'll just not sell all the Xbox copies. We'll just sell PlayStation. Like, they're not going to do that. They still want to sell every kind of copy that they want.
I did actually speak to James about this briefly earlier in the week, and he gave me a prediction. And if the crossplay thing is real, in fact, they do go ahead with it. He's saying that it will happen November 2nd, which is BlizzCon first day.
If crossplay happens,
yep. For at least Diablo.
Well, they've already said no.
Well, we'll see. There's still kind of people going back and forth. So I don't know. I don't think no means no. I really don't.
I don't know either. A game like this would be easy to cross play, especially with the Switch.
Yeah.
But again, there is so much is in court. Look, my first idea of when you start getting games as big as Diablo 3, the inside, not graphically or whatever. Why would if the next game, if crossplay is against what I'm saying outside of this whole Fortnite exception, why would you think that a company like Blizzard, who can't even control their community as it is, why would they even try to flood that with even more people when, like, really Overwatch's biggest stigma ever is the community? You know, that is, if you're going to say anything bad about Overwatch, it's the community. So I don't think that it would be Blizzard in general to do any of this.
Right.
I would think that it would be a smaller company like Psyonix. Is that who makes Rocket League?
Yeah.
Rocket League. You know, like, it would be a smaller company, but with a competitive game that, you know, is already on all platforms, isn't extensive where you need special hardware, so it can probably cooperate. A game like that would make more sense because it's there is no communication that you really got to do too much of. You just play the game. It's cars, nothing controversial about cars. There's no blood. You know, like, I still am saying that it's probably not going to happen.
Sure. I don't think so either, but so, it could.
It is. And you know what? It's but just it realizing it's just so, look, November 2nd, if they say and announce that crossplay is coming, I will not take Blizzard's word for anything ever. I get it. Maybe you're denying it because you want to surprise everybody. But in that case, like, that's a flat out lie, though.
Yeah.
You say something vague, like, you know, even, you know, it might come, it might not. But to say we have no plans on doing that, like, and then to come around and say, hey, psych, just kidding, April Fools. That's not cool. It's not really
BlizzCon Fools Day.
You know, like, and something like that, it doesn't seem like Blizzard. I think Blizzard is more the type that would leave it vague as shit. You know, in fact, Blizzard, this information probably wouldn't even be information, you know, if it was really going to happen. Yeah. Blizzard wouldn't have a rep leak that information. So I don't know. I'm still, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen.
I hope not.
Now I'm like so far on that side of the fence that I am against it now.
I think another good one, if we want to talk about as far as like games that could, I think Grand Theft Auto would be right there too, but I don't know.
Because that's already a game where I want to say it's toxic, but it is if you don't put the precautions on, like the pacifist mode. Like, if you want to go in there and not be pacifist and you want to, you know, you're going to encounter a lot of trolls, but, you know, that's what the game is. It's being a criminal. Like, criminals, you're not supposed to go into Grand Theft Auto thinking everyone's going to be your friend.
Sure.
But well, yes,
you better Grand not Theft because Auto, that's and, not the case for sure if you've ever played it.
Yeah, and Grand Theft Auto is like it's on its last leg, though it doesn't need to be.
No, I don't
with
know
Red
that.
Dead coming out, it's on its last leg. People are going to switch over. This would be the best time, just like the guys at NetherRealms did with Mortal Kombat when they were they wanted to put new net code in Injustice.
Yeah.
So they went ahead and updated Mortal Kombat, making everybody think the game's going to last longer, but it was like, no. The game's already ending, so we're going to just throw it on there and see what happens and how it does.
Right.
You know, they could have done that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and just put it on Grand Theft Auto. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, if it just goes to shit and the community is just poisonous,
yeah,
doesn't matter because Red Dead's out.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll see, man. It's close. Like, if it doesn't happen this year, it's not happening at all because then you're going to have new consoles out. And with the way Xbox talking, like, it's going to be different. I mean, they're going to make it even harder for crossplay, I think, to even happen.
Right. It's going to be two Unless different formats. It's going to be, yeah.
No, you know what they could do? At headquarters, what they do is they fill up their whole server rooms with PlayStations, play that version of the game, and stream it to Xbox. Crossplay solved.
I don't know. Now we're just like, okay. Well,
that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I don't think so. But, you know, time's going to tell, and it might be less time than we know. So about 17 days. We'll see if that's something that comes to fruition. I don't know.
I can tell you that we're probably going to see something about a new character for Overwatch.
About that time. I can say yes to that. Yeah, I think that's definitely going to happen. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Let's stick with Rockstar. I have some Red Dead Redemption 2 news.
All right.
This was originally reported by Vulture. They said that Rockstar has been working, you ready for this? 100-hour weeks on Red Dead Redemption 2. Okay. I don't know. I feel like that's overkill. No? Is that a little white lie?
A white lie?
For 100-hour weeks? Do you think someone's working 100-hour weeks?
Do 100-hour weeks exist?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they do, definitely.
Then yes. And I mean, I wouldn't deny it. Is this like a controversial piece?
Well, they're saying, not really controversial, but there's a lot of numbers that they kind of threw out there. They're saying the result is the game is, that Rockstar claims is 65 hours long. Okay, although they took out 5 hours of content. Because I don't know, because you know they clean it up so 60 hours long in this game. That should make you happy if you are a Red Dead fan.
If you're a video game fan of single player games,
absolutely,
and you want your money's worth.
60 hours? That's a lot of time. Yeah. And then they're saying, they're saying 300,000 animations, 500,000 lines of dialogue, and recorded by 700 actors. And even more lines of code, apparently, on top of that. This game sounds huge. This game sounds like Rockstar is trying to make a statement. I hope it is one that we won't forget. The Rockstar has their employees working 100-hour weeks. I mean, I feel like at this point, you know, because the game's about to come out, they're pushing it. I feel like they're trying to get as much as they can out of it. And if they're going through the game with a fine tooth comb, that is a great thing, especially if you are, like you said, a big fan of single player games. Does this make you more excited about the game, or does this kind of like, oh yeah, they should be doing this anyway?
Well, both.
Okay.
I mean, all right. So let's take Grand Theft Auto 5, no matter what you want to say. All right. Yeah. Grand Theft Auto 5, it had over 5 years of fucking content.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how far apart that is now. And then with that, the 5 hours they did take out will probably be put back in some sort of DLC. And even so, it's just editing. Big deal.
Right.
Now, what we got to realize is Grand Theft Auto to this day is the most money making anything in entertainment ever. All right. It's beaten out every single movie, every single video game, every single music album, everything.
It's still number one seller.
And it's still making money. So if you're making money, essentially beating out what Marvel is doing, hell yeah, you're going to up the game, because guess what? It's going to be a good investment. They already have proof. Put more money into it, because look, if you go through the history of Grand Theft Auto, as they've come to this, you're going to find all these celebrities who are in the game, whether it's like a major voice, which usually it's not. Usually it's just normal people on the streets. You know, that they're like focusing so much. The games are 5 years in the making. Like, that's what a movie usually is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, 700 people, 1,000 people working on it. Have you ever watched the fucking end credits of a movie?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
it's
thousands.
Dude, on one, working on like one person, like on just the Hulk. If you were to look at the credits for just the Hulk, you'll see like over 100 people working on one character just to make that happen. Like, that's Hollywood. And this game is going to be Hollywood.
I mean, they're saying 700 people just for voicing. So that doesn't even factor in all the workers that all the, you know, the code writers, all the testers, everything, you know, everything that kind of goes into it. So I don't know, dude, if I actually feel bad for the all the Rockstar haters out there, because there's a lot of them. There is. I feel like, do you know that? You know, there's a lot of them, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there's so many people that hate it, because like, you know, why would they focus on, you know, and then of course people that hate on Grand Theft Auto and stuff, but you need to realize, that Rockstar is very innovative. They don't half-ass games. So if you are against Rockstar, I feel bad for you.
Here, let's compare Rockstar,
sure,
with Epic.
All right.
Epic Games, I mean, really, like, if Fortnite lasted another 2 or 3 years, it would beat out Grand Theft Auto. It won't last that long.
Yeah.
But so we have Fortnite, and they're just raping people for money, like all these young people primarily for money. And they're making what? How much was it? $2 million a month or
something
some
like
ridiculous,
yeah, ridiculous
number, okay? And what do they do in return? They give you another season and two effing outfits and, you know, whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Another feature in the game.
And Paragon.
All this, yeah, in that game. Where's all the money going?
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto, they're still making money off of people buying the currency.
Yep.
They are taking that money really immediately and putting it into content and releasing that content for free. So you're really paying for the content, but they know that, and they are giving you what it's worth. And then all the extra money, they're making the second best game that's ever going to be made. Possibly the best game ever made that you will ever see, whether you want to play through it or not. I never finished Grand Theft Auto's story, but I played the hell out of the multiplayer. And in first person, dude, if they only made first person games, if they made a fucking first person shooter, it would dominate. I mean, just graphically, it's the best thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're doing what, if you hate Rockstar, like, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great investment.
Check
that's
yourself,
$60.
Man.
Dude, anyway, I bought the game 2 times and I'm still not disappointed. I would never say, dude, that wasn't worth it. I mean, just putting the game in for the second time in first person is just, dude, next step VR.
Oh, man. Grand Theft Auto VR. Oh, my God.
I'm telling you. But this game, yeah, knowing all those numbers, I believe them 100%. I mean, those people should be working that much for how much they're probably getting paid for this.
Well, I don't know. That wasn't mentioned. So
they're getting paid, dude. They're not. Yeah, they're getting paid. Rockstar's a good company. They only make good games.
Yeah.
I mean, sooner or later, they're going to have to come out with their own like service, like BlizzNet, and just have a bunch of their own games and just make one of each genre, make it last 10 years. Boom, done, retire.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. I want to see another genre now, Rockstar.
Yeah, I want to see it. But I mean, right now, okay, let's go with Red Dead. We've all been kind of waiting for it, so let's go with that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying cancel it. Please don't cancel it.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if they were about to, just because of what I said.
They're done. Like, ah. They right, throw it out. They just deleted. Like, everything's gone. I don't think that's going to happen. But okay. All right. Before we do the Brucey B review on Venom, it is a spoiler review, so I just want to let you know. Let's talk about real quick. I know, Verlaine, you're excited about Atari. I feel like when a lot of people hear that, they're like, why would you be excited about that? But I know you are for a fact. So
yeah.
Tell them why.
All right, Jim. Well,
I'll just spit my water everywhere.
Atari's just back and forth. And I mean, like, you know, you'll hear nothing and then they come out with something. And
right.
Really... I think it's amounting to a taste of what we're going to get with the Atari box, because this next Atari Flashback Classic Volume 3, holy crap, dude. Usually these things come with about 10, 15 games. If you're lucky and get a collection with that, this comes with 50 Atari games that aren't on the other volumes, and it's still just $20.
It's amazing.
A lot of these games are, and they're not the ones that you keep finding in every single collection. Yeah. Adventure 2. You see, you're not a big Atari guy.
No, I'm not.
All the Atari
I never had
sports
Atari.
Games,
I didn't television. I just never did.
Yeah. Final Legacy, Frog Pond, Maze Invaders, Miniature Golf, Millipede. There's
I know
an
Frog
version
Pond
of a couple. Yars Return. And here's the thing: they're not all Atari 2600 games either. No. They're just they're
Atari
from Atari 2600. 5200 and even like a Yars Returns, I think is Xbox 360.
Yars. Okay.
So you're definitely getting your money back. And I think this is a taste of what the Atari box is going to be. It's going to be not just
how much
the 2600 emulators. It's going to be everything Atari's made. We'll find games,
but
from
how much is
the Atari Jaguar. This collection is only $20.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. Well,
that's like
worth 50
cents a game.
I think totally worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the Atari thing. And I'm telling you, like, it's building something. Somebody at Atari really wants to make something happen. And it is going to happen sooner. Everyone's just going to let go. But
I hope so. We need some games, man. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Games are games. And I think the more the merrier. So I'm in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's stop talking about games real quick. we will talk about Brucey B. He has a review for you. He saw Venom, Marvel's Venom, or Sony's Venom, whatever it is. Verlaine, you haven't seen it yet, right?
No.
No. Okay. Well, you're not worried about it, right? You kind of know what's going to happen. Blah, 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 right?
Well, I don't care.
Okay. All right.
I'll still watch it.
Well, this is a spoiler. It doesn't spoil everything, so I don't want to say it's a total spoiler. But he does tell you some stuff that are in the movie that you didn't know that was in the movie, at least. How's that? Okay.
Nice.
All right. Well, without further ado, let's, Brucey B, why don't you take it away? Your review of Venom. What you got?
Yo, Verlaine in Spanish. What's up? It's me, Brucey B. I'm back. And guess what I saw? Yeah, I saw Venom. Hello. I was told I can spoil the hell out of this movie because spoilers, I will talk about the good and the bad and the bad, okay? Tom Harding, loved him. He's a good bad guy. Or was he a good Bane? Or was he a good Venom? Or was he a good Eddie Brock? Still a good actor, I thought. I mean, they could have took this movie and filmed it in between Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2. Boom, would have been a great segue between both movies. Okay, the CGI in this movie is awesome. Loved him. He looks kind of realistic. But let me tell you something. Venom is black. He comes out in the nighttime. Hello? Okay, yeah, this movie was fun, but it could have been wicked more fun if you gave an R rating. I mean, look, Deadpool. Great movie. Hello? Marvel. Did I say Marvel? I mean, Sony said this is going to lead into other movies, like maybe a Carnage movie, maybe. Yeah. Can you tell me why we did not see Spider-Man in this movie? I'll tell you why. A, Disney did not want to do it.
Nope.
B, Marvel did not want to do it.
Nope.
C, Sony cannot do it yet. I would go with C.
Yep.
Okay, this is me, Brucey B from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm going to give this movie 7.5/8. It would have been a 9 if Spider-Man was in there. Will I go see it again? Yes, I would. Okay, it's me, Brucey B from Boston, Massachusetts, saying have a wicked good time. Have a wicked good life. May the force be with you. Peace out. Rock on.
Thank you, Brucey B. So there's your, there his, he, so, okay, 7.5. Mm-hmm. 7.5. I think that's fair. I did see it, and I enjoyed it. I don't know if I would go back to watch the movie again, but it was a fun watch. So if you are into it, then yeah, cool. Go see it. Are you going to go see this movie in the theater? Or are you going to wait?
I'll wait.
You'll wait. Okay.
It's not really, I don't see it going anywhere. Yeah. Look, and by the way, Venom, you couldn't make Venom an R thing. Because, look, in the comic books, eventually Deadpool became mature audience kind of stuff, and he started doing that crazy killing psychopath stuff. Venom's not like that. Venom is not even an anti-hero. Venom just wants to kill Spider-Man.
Yep.
So it's never, he's never been a gory graphic dude. He just wants to eat Spider-Man's brains. That's it. Everybody else is cool. So I think that I would, that doesn't deter me at all from this movie. I mean, I think Spider-Man 3 was great, and that was PG-13.
Yeah, I know. I kind of almost don't disagree with that. You could make a movie really good if it's PG-13. It's just, unfortunately, in this day and age, there's kind of few and far between. I mean, I don't know, right? I feel like that's, I don't think I'm going out on a limb on
so
that.
So check this out. Okay. The Expendables 3 was PG-13, and they still got away with it. And it's still, they had blood. It just wasn't gore.
They like, just said the F word once.
When you, huh?
They just said the F word once.
Oh, yeah. And you can get away with not
that's
cussing.
Just one time. You only need to say it once.
Yeah. So, hey, do you have anything else you were going to get into?
No, go ahead. What do you got?
All right. So remember that thing I posted or I showed you about with the Avengers?
Which thing?
the leak of the trailer.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
All right. So I've been thinking about that. And, you know, like it's just a leak and you're very skeptical on it.
I mean, I don't know. Like I read through it and it sounds like a trailer. It sounds like a confusing, I don't know, whatever.
So
go ahead. Little background. So if you're hearing about this, there was a leak on Reddit, and the whole thing was somebody that worked there told this guy, right? Isn't that how that?
Somebody who worked there saw the trailer.
Okay, it saw the trailer.
He's not working there next month. He's like quitting. So he wrote down everything he saw. He transcribed it and then sent it to this dude.
Right. And he put it out on Reddit.
Yeah, and they yanked it off.
Of course.
But it made its rounds and people are talking about it. And, you know, from things like the title is called, Annihilation. Mm-hmm. There's a whole Marvel storyline. And I'm not going to even go through it. We have it. I don't know. Maybe if people are interested, I'll put it up sometime. But the thing I want you to remember, and I was thinking about this, they mention a part where the scene shows, you know, so-and-so and Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Now, Quicksilver's dead. Now, usually you'd be like, okay, whatever. Here's the thing. Of all the people in the Marvel Universe that have died, why would this guy make up Quicksilver, who just recently died and wasn't even in the movie that long?
Right.
I'll tell you why. Because with Fox's acquisition of Fox, Marvel's acquisition of Fox, originally they had the deal where they get Scarlet Witch and they'll kill Quicksilver. Fox had to kill Scarlet Witch and they got Quicksilver. Well, now that Fox is owned by them, they incorporated into their whole time traveling. They go back and help Quicksilver and stop him from dying and bring him back. We have Quicksilver again. Why would they not? That's amazing. That's amazing.
That's probably the best part of that whole entire description, if you ask me.
Yeah, and I guess
most surprising part for sure.
Yeah, and it's, I guess it happens 5 years after the everybody, you know, disappears. The snap.
Right.
Which means that Ant-Man was in the quantum realm for 5 years. And last time someone was in there for a long time, it was the original Ant-Man's wife. And she ended up getting some sort of powers through that.
Right.
Right. So now he's going to come out of that with powers, but he goes through the time thing and ends up going a little back in time. So he doesn't know where he is, what time period. And then they start traveling through time all over the place. They see another, I guess there's going to be two Tonys at one point, a younger and an older. Like the old, you know what I heard? The older one, this Tony is supposedly goes back in time to the first movie and gives that Tony like the MK89 or something, like a mark, like way high number. For some reason, and that's all I like heard.
Like,
and
then the Hulk in other words, he gives him an advanced model of it, so he doesn't have to work on it. It's already done.
More advanced than any of his suits have already been.
Which means he'll make it even more advanced after that.
And then there was a scene that is somewhere that shows the Hulk, punching, like he's like punching a punching bag or doing some like training, and someone's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Training." And they're like, "Training for what?" And he's like, "My second round with Thanos," or something shit like that. So like, obviously he's back. And then Thanos isn't even going to be the bad guy.
Yeah, I know.
So really what they're doing is actually
he's already won. He's already done what he got to do.
So honestly, yeah. Infinity War, that was it. Yeah. Like, that ending is the ending for it. And this one, though, it's a continuation. It's not the continuation of the Infinity anything. Like, it's pretty much like that story is done. Going back in time, they revive some people, I'm sure, but it's not, I don't think it's to defeat Thanos. I think it's more.
Well, if that's the case, who's coming back? Obviously, we already said Quicksilver.
Ronan.
Oh, yeah, we heard about that. Yep. But he's actually going to show up in Captain Marvel, I hear.
But so, Captain Marvel's set before, it's before all this.
I know. But I'm just saying, you'll see him.
Gamora's
anyway.
Going to come back.
You think Gamora's going to come back?
I think she's going to come back.
Oh, okay.
Because the only person of the Guardians left is Rocket.
Yeah.
Rocket and Thor team up. Yeah. And Thor ends up with this armor. I saw a picture like from the toy. Like, he has this weird futuristic space armor like all over him.
That's awesome.
And him and Rocket are like buddies.
That's a cool, I like that.
Yeah. So, dude, I don't know, because, you know, look, bringing Quicksilver back, but not
Spider-Man.
Loki, and
you got to bring Spider-Man back.
Right. If it's supposed to happen 5 years later, that means Spider-Man's been gone for 5 years. Everybody's been gone for 5 years. And if you're going to go all the way back to the first movie, why not save every goddamn person?
I know, that's what I was thinking. Even Loki.
Yeah. Like, who's going to make those decisions on who they save, and, you know?
Well, it's an easy fix. Come on, dude, you know this. It's a movie. All you need to do is add a line like, oh no, the machine broke. We can't go back and get anyone else.
Or like, just have have Thor wake up in bed and it was all a dream.
Oh God, I'm done. I will walk out of the theater if that's the case. I am done. And he's not even he's not even an alien. Like, he's just a guy. He's gonna work.
Some dude.
He works on cars all day long. I mean, like, he's... This was all a dream. Oh my God. I mean, apart from Mario 2 being all a dream, I hate that storyline. I'm out. Mm-hmm. I'm out. Apart from that. Yeah. Yeah. But, I'm excited, because I'm a huge Marvel guy. And as you know, Brucey B is also a huge Marvel guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he's looking forward to that as well. All right. You have anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm good.
Here we go. Oh, real quick. I wanted to mention, I forgot that we had this. So lately there, if you're getting a message, through PlayStation 4, and it's something like someone's adding you as a group or doing something like that, they're saying the best thing is not to actually click on it and open it, because if you do, it will actually, reset your system from the beginning. So be careful with that. But PlayStation has announced, they have reported that they have fixed that problem. So I don't know if this happened to anyone. I don't know any personally that this happened to, but they've said, we've since fixed the issue and it wasn't bricking consoles, because that's what was happening. They were bricking consoles, just sending them into a crash loop that can be quickly fixed in under 5 minutes. It says, delete the message on the PlayStation mobile app, go into safe mode. They have these different options to use. So if you go to, ask_PS_UK on Twitter, you can see all the steps that it's going to take, to do that. It doesn't seem like it'll take long, but if you are going to open that message, do not open it on your PlayStation. So that is very important. I wanted to at least mention that.
No, that's just weird, yeah. Man. That's so weird that their network, first of all, that their network would be affected by a simple message that doesn't even, I heard, it doesn't even need to be opened. And
oh, yeah, I don't know.
It's just.
I didn't get it, so I feel good weird. About it. Yeah, I'm good about it.
And then somebody figured that out somehow. Oh, they figured out somebody wanted to do this. And do they make money off it? No.
Nope.
So I don't get whatever.
It's just
at least they fixed it fast. That's got to be some sort of record for them.
I would say, so. It's got to be a record. Okay, well, all right. Well, that pretty much ends the show. I got a big thanks. Big thanks goes out to friend of the show, Vic Joseph. He's awesome. We're glad he got on the show. We're glad he's doing what he's doing, man, because he is killing it. He is killing it. So please, excuse me, go check out the WWE Network if you don't already have it. You could just get it for $9.99 a month. I have it and it's awesome. I don't know if Verlaine, you're not really into it, so that's fine. You don't have to get it.
If it was all the past video games on it, I would.
Right? Well, that'd be kind of cool. Ooh, the streaming service, including the video games.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be, I would have that in a heartbeat.
That would be sweet.
Emulation of the Super Nintendo ones is all I need.
That would be sweet.
Or the Nintendo 64. Sorry.
I don't think they're going to do that.
I know. They're gonna do we that. Could dream.
We could dream, that's for sure. All right. And also, a big thanks, of course, to Brucey B. Back on a big vacation, and he is here. He's ready. He's going to be doing a lot more for us, and we're just glad he's back. All right. Well, please check out the show next week. We are working on a big guest. I'm not going to mention it because it hasn't been 100% yet, but we will announce during the week who this is and if we do end up getting him. So, and it is a him. So that's your hint. That's all you get. That's all you get.
Him.
So, yes. So we will let you know. But please do us a favor. Follow us on our social medias at GameFixShow. And please become a patron. All you need to do is listen to Verlaine. He'll tell you all the details.
Everything that we do here, all the giveaways, the VIP, the discounts, the Wizard World, always public, always free. But if you want to give a little bit extra, go ahead, sign up to our Patreon page, patreon.com/GameFixShow. It's only going to make everything we do better. It already has made it better. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you can tell from the beginning to the middle, Dave got a new camera because of you guys. I have a new mic because of you guys. And that's just the start. And we just want to become bigger. We want more time dedicated. We don't want to get these interview scheduling conflictions. We want to be able to say whenever you want to do it, we're there. Everything's going to get better. The giveaways are going to get better. And of course, we already give you better discounts and a lot of exclusive content. So patreon.com/GameFixShow. Do us a favor and do yourselves a favor and just try it out. You could always cancel 1 month.
That's it.
$2, 1 month. You'll see what it's like. And
a lot of cool behind the scenes audio. So that's,
and we treat you like princesses.
Princesses and Bowsette. Oh, yeah, by the way, there was a somebody put out a mod.
I saw it
for Zelda. You see that?
Yeah.
Bowsette. Yes. Of course it's happening. So, all right. Well, that concludes the show. Thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Weekly. We do this every week. Monday night, new episode every single time. So thanks again, Brucey B. What do you got to say?
Goodbye. Have a nice day. Peace.
See ya.
Love ya.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dino Tripodis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.